Hallelujah. Man, I tell you what, if we were here on Friday night, I enjoyed Friday night. We had a simulcast, or I don't know what you call it. I'm going to call it a simulcast. It's called a Healing Summit. It was from a church in Ohio. And, man, we were blessed. We got to pray for some folks. We had about 25 or so here, and we got to pray for some people. And I think we was really challenged. I know I was really challenged in my spirit on some things. And so, man, I'm excited about what God's doing in this house. Amen. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Matthew chapter 15? Matthew chapter 15. We'll start somewhere around verse 21. Last week, I talked to you about when God's answer is no.
That's right.
And we talked about Balak and Balaam, you know, where the donkey talked. Everybody knows the story by the donkey talking. And so, but in the story, or in the book, the message last week, God had told Balaam, no, don't go. But Balaam went back a second time to ask God if he could go. Now, God was no. God's no is no. But Balaam was offered a lot of stuff like money. You know, he even made the statement, if I was to be given a house full of silver and gold, I wouldn't go. But he got to thinking about that. Also, Balak, the king of the Moabites, had said, well, I'll give you much honor. I'll put you in above honor from anyone else. And he got thinking, well, that's going to be pretty good. I got money, and I'm going to have power and honor. Come on, this is going to be all right. So he decides he'd go back to God and say, hey, do you think you change your mind? Because look what's in it for me. Now, I know that nobody in this room has ever prayed a prayer. Hey, Brandon, how you doing, man? So good to see you. I can do that, right? My brother's been, he's not a prodigal, but he's like a prodigal son gone for long and then comes back, amen? And so, amen, good to see. He works off, amen, and sometimes that's what we do to provide, amen? Good to see you, my brother. So where was I at? Y'all wasn't paying attention anyway, so I could do that, see? Y'all didn't know where I was at. So Balak, goes back to God, and he asks him, he says, don't you think you could change your mind? And God still no. And you and I, we've done that before. We've asked God for something, and we know the answer is no, but we get to looking at some of the possible benefits. We say, well, you know, let me ask him one more time. Let me just see if he's for real saying no. Come on, some of you bought things you know you weren't supposed to buy. Mm-hmm. God said, don't do it, and you said, but Lord, and you give you reasons why. Well, today, you know, we know Balaam was asking for kind of a selfish reason. But today I want to talk to you about another time that God, he says no at first. Actually, he says nothing at first. And the persistency of a woman gets God to answer her favorably. So in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, the Bible says this. Now, then Jesus went out from there and departed to a region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of the Canaan, came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now, it's important that if you have your Bible, it may say it at the top or something to this effect. She's a Gentile woman. Now, that's important. That's key for what we're going to talk about today. She's a Gentile woman. What does that mean to me and you? Well, she's not Jewish. And we're fixing to find out that it's important to God right here too. That she's a Gentile. So you need to know that she is a Gentile. She's apart. She's not part of. She's an outcast, if you will. She's, you know, he went to the Gentiles. God sent Paul to the Gentiles. We know that the Jews rejected God for the most part. In Matthew, it says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem," this is God speaking, he says, "I would have gathered you as a mother hen would gather her chicks, but you would not." And so the rejection of the Messiah, Jesus, led a total different direction. Now God's sending out messengers, obviously, to the Gentiles through Paul. But as of yet, this woman is still considered someone over here, lesser than a Jew. And it says in verse 23, "But he answered her not a word." You ever talked to God and he answered you not a word? Come on, somebody. Well, you ain't been praying as much as I've been praying, because I prayed for a lot of things and he answered me not a word. Fervent prayer, and he says nothing. Doesn't that just make you so excited? You don't even like it when your spouse or your friend doesn't answer you. And you're going to God with this problem, this issue that you need fixed, and he answers you not a word. Most of the time in society today, we're offended. We're mad we're not coming back to that church. We're mad at God. We're not asking him for anything. I can do this on my own. We're offended. I'm offended. We're so offended. We're offended at everything nowadays. Have you noticed? Everybody is offended at something. And most of the time, it's nothing. You ever thought about that? We're offended at something, and it's nothing. This woman could have been offended. Think about it. She's a Gentile. She's a woman. She really ain't supposed to be talking to him, number one. But she's a Gentile. That's two strikes, man. One more, you're out. And he didn't even answer her. But he answered not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." You know what they really were saying? She's a problem for us. She's making a scene. She must be Pentecostal. He says nothing. The disciples step in and say, "Would you do something? The woman is a problem. Just send her away." Really what they were saying, see, they had been with God. They knew that God did not turn people away who were honest and sincere in their prayers. He answered prayers. He's a prayer-answering God. And so they were saying, "You know what, we're doing our thing, and she's a problem. Why don't you just send her away? Why don't you just heal her, do whatever it is she's asking, and let her go about her business?" There's a lot of other people here, God. You know, Jesus, we're ministering here. We got this great revival going on, and she's a problem. She's been coming every night asking you, and you won't even talk to her. At least say something to her. We'd really like for you to heal her so she won't come back and be disruptive. She's a little loud. She praises a little loud. Come on, somebody. Verse 24, "But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I'm not even here for her. Now, we're not going to talk about who you can get off in some denominations, some religions, thinking that all of Israel is saved, or they're going to be saved, none of them saved, or he's after some of them. It really doesn't matter. He was sent primarily first for the Jews, period. That's non-debatable, okay? So he was sent. He said, "I'm not even here for her. I'm not interested." You heard the first. I didn't answer her because I didn't want to talk to her. My business is about the Jews right now. Now, if you and I, number two, had been rejected this way, we're absolutely done, and we're blaming everything in life on religion. We're definitely blaming it on the bald-headed preacher at Lake Village Assembly. He's the problem. He told God, and God didn't talk to me, and there's the problem. Amen? But she could have been really offended. "You wouldn't even talk to me." I've had that happen. "You didn't talk to me. I ain't coming back." Okay. God answered not a word, and she's still hanging around. Why? Because her need to have an answered prayer is greater than her feelings. It's greater than the emotions that she's experiencing. She's in need, and we're fixing to find out why she's in need. It's amazing how that we're not persistent with God. I use this word, not even, you don't even have to use persistent. I will dumb it down to being faithful. Faithfulness to God is so important. It's with persistence. I was persistent in wooing my wife to marry me. Scotty, that's a good thing. You're talking about my wife? I'm going to tell her. You said she's not a good thing. Did y'all hear Scotty say my wife wasn't a good thing? That's what I heard. Now I'm offended. I'm offended now. You see, that's exactly what we do, though. It was making a point. He didn't know this was going to happen. We didn't plan that, actually, but that was good. You see, you didn't get really the answer I was wanting. I didn't want that answer. I wanted him to say, man, she is a good thing. That was great. You did good, man. You were persistent, and man, you did a good thing by being persistent. But I didn't get that answer. And that's about you. You didn't have one. I'm going to get you a mirror. I'm going to tell you how. It's persistency, Scotty. Scotty looking for a woman. I mean, let's just put it out there, okay, amen. You're going to learn from today, Scotty. I'm picking on Scotty, but Scotty loves me. You can be offended and still be persistent. You can be offended with God, and it's still okay. He's still God. You're being offended at God doesn't change God's position. Do you understand that? As a matter of fact, sometimes if you'll work through your being offended and being kind of it sideways with God, a lot of times that works in your favor if you'll work through that position in your life. I'm going to show you this. He says, I was not sent except the lost sheep of Israel. Then, watch this. She's been ignored. And he says, I'm not here for you. And then look what she does in verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Start talking to me. I don't make it. Are you talking to me? This is, you was. You offended? You're God here. You offended, man? See what happens? He just went about his business. He didn't acknowledge that she was even talking to him, ignored him. And then when the disciples got involved in the conversation, said, hey, Jesus, she's talking to you. Pay attention. You need to do something for her. You're the one who can. She is not offended. She begins to worship him. Oh, if we could learn to worship through our offenses at God. Oh, if we could learn to be faithful in church attendance and the things of God through our offenses. Oh, my, what it would change in our lives. It's good for you, not necessarily them, for you. But if we could learn to get past our little emotions and feelings, whoo, boy, could we change the world. And then she came in verse 25 and she worshiped him, saying, look, she still acknowledged. She called him Lord. After rejection, after being ignored, she still said Lord. We get offended and we won't call our best friend for 6 weeks. And if God doesn't answer, we're going to say, I've heard this excuse more than once. Well, he don't listen. What's the use of going to church? What's the use of serving God? How shallow we are in our walk with God when we make statements such as that. He is the God of the universe. What if you would have been offended on year one, Lee, when praying to be a mother? Or year two, not day, not hour, but year. Or year five, or six, or seven. Somewhere in 12 years ago, your wife probably made a statement, is God listening to us? Does he want us to have children? Where is God? Something on that line has been spoken in the home. But I have seen her come through year after year after year and worship and praise and sing because there's no offense to God. It's in the time of waiting. Sometimes we, most of the time, no, all of the time, we do not like to wait. We want God to answer us faster than we can put in a already pre-cooked sausage into a microwave and put it in our mouth, which is 45 seconds if you're wondering. Come on, somebody. In my microwave. We want God to answer right now with no interruptions and no offenses, and we want it our way. We want it right now, and we want you to perform right now because you know who I am, God. She worshiped him. In the times that you are not getting what you think you ought to get from God, try this. Try worshiping God for who he is, not for what you can get from him. There is a total difference. A lot of times we love to worship God when everything's going our way, when the checkbook is full and health is good and the kids are acting normal sometimes and, you know, everything's good. We say, man, God is good. But when it kind of goes a little bit south, we say, where is God? I'm not going to worship him today. What has he done for me? You're still living. You have a way out. Worship him. Even when the answer is no, even when you're in the waiting, worship him. Continue to bless his name while you're waiting on the blessing, while you're waiting on whatever it is you're praying for. Worship him. And verse 26 says, but he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs. Man. In American society, we're done. I mean, Jesus says, I thought you got the message, but you didn't. I'm not here for you, and I'm busy about my father's business. I'm busy about the taking care of the children, God's children, meaning Israel. I'm not here for you. And he says, and it's not good to take children's bread and throw it to the dogs. In other words, you can't have what I'm trying to give to them. Well, I'm offended. I'm mad at God. What do you do? Let me ask you a question. What do you do? What happens when you get mad at God? Does God say, oh, they're mad? No. He got mad because of you, not because of him. He says, it's not right for me to give what I've come to give to the Jews, to give it to you. It's just not right. You're a dog. He did tone it down, though. He said, little dog. You know, we're okay with little dogs. Little dogs are our pets. You know, they said in your lap, this is my little dog. It's not like a big, mean dog out in the yard. It's the little part of the family dog. You're a little dog. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's calling her a dog in a nice way. He said, I'm really not here to help you. You're not getting it. You're a little slow, aren't you? You got off the short bus, didn't you? Woman, I'm not here to help you. To me, you're a little dog. That's offensive. We have to use the right pronouns today or they're offended. I'm sorry. but you look like a boy. Come on, somebody. Watch. The response was in no way formed by an offense. It was no way tattered or smothered or skewed by her emotions. See, God, I want you to know something. God is not moved by your emotions. He's never moved by how much you cry. Oh, he knows when you cry. He's not moved by your emotions. He is moved by your faith. But your emotions is not part of the equation. Was God emotional? Oh, yeah, absolutely. God cried. We know Jesus wept when he found out about Lazarus. He wept. I'm not saying you shouldn't have emotions. I'm saying that's not what moves God. Your emotions are go with what's going on in your life. My emotions, you know, I can walk in the house and my wife's in a good mood. I've got great emotions. You men that are sitting by your wives, you're just being so good. I'm telling you, I'm going to give you a hand clap. You haven't said a word. You know what I'm talking about? That projects how the evening's going to go. Come in and your wife's smiling, saying, I have cooked you a great pot roast with potatoes and carrots and onions and celery in it. There's some big old thing of gravy and rice and homemade rolls. It's going to be a good evening. Do you hear me? You walk into your house and you can just feel, men, come on somebody, I need a witness from some men. You walk in and you feel the tension. You know you did some, but you have no idea what it is. No matter what you say or do, it's not going to be good. You can apologize. She said, you've apologized for it before. You can say, honey, what did I do? See, you didn't even know what you did. And man, it just goes from there. But this woman had far greater emotions she worked through and feelings she worked through than somebody wasn't okay with her coming home. This woman was rejected and denied and had a cold shoulder turned to her from Jesus. And she worshiped, and then she got called a dog, a little dog. Watch this. In verse 27, and she said, oh, this is good. She said, yes, Lord. You know what she just said when she said, yes, Lord? She said, you're absolutely right in everything you've said, everything you've done. You are right. You know what she said? You know what really she was saying? She said, it's not even about me, God. You are right, but I'm still worshiping you. Even though I don't like it, even though it's not, you're not very friendly, even though I could probably come up with some scriptures in the Bible that says you're not being godlike, you're right. Why? Well, he's God. Remember the question a while ago? What happens when you get offended at God? Nothing on his end. Not one thing changes in heaven because you're offended. Have you ever thought about that? That's a, you, what? But God, I've been going to that church for a long time. I pay my tithes. And I've been loving you for a long time. I'm a charter member. Okay. So, he says, I'm a charter member of forever. I'm the Alpha and Omega. What you got? You see my point? I'm trying to make a point here. You're fixing to get this. Yes, Lord, he's right. No matter the answer that you're giving at this moment, he's right. He is Lord. He is over everything. He's still Alpha and Omega. Even when you don't feel like he is. Even when you don't get the answer, he is Alpha and Omega. He is the yes and amen. She replied, yes, Lord, yet even little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Man. Yes, Lord, you're right. I'm a little dog. But everybody loves the little dogs, Lord, and they feed them from the table too sometimes. What is she saying? What is he saying in this? Lord, I know why you're here. But even the lowest of the worst of the rejected, no matter, Lord, you still take care of them as well. That's what she's saying. Lord, I'll take just the crumbs that you're feeding those people of the Jewish people. I'll take just a crumb. It'll be enough for me if you feed me the crumbs. I'm here to tell you, just a little bit of God is enough for you. You don't need much. You want much, but you don't need much. And she's saying, but Lord, I'm here. I have a need. What we don't know, what I didn't read in this text, I guess I read it, just didn't talk about it much. She really wasn't there for her. She was there on the behalf of a demon-possessed daughter. Matter of fact, the text says severely demon-possessed. So there's a worse demon possessed and there's a less demon possessed. Sounds like they're all kind of bad to me. No, she's severely demon possessed. In other words, she's given mama fits. And she's done took her to the psychiatrist and they can't fix her. She done got her on every pill that the doctor will prescribe, and that's not fixing her. Lord, I'm here and I know that I'm not even supposed to be here, but I am in a position that I know that you can, and I wade through my offenses, I wade through my emotions to get you to touch my daughter. Come on, somebody. We're not willing a lot of times to wade through all of the stuff. I go once in like, I don't know, we've been married 34 years, so I've been once. Okay, so not very much. I will go occasionally. I used to go more. I was trying to be that husband that was just, I'm going to support my wife. If she wants to go shopping, I'm going shopping. I am done with that. Do you hear me? She can be offended. I ain't going. My wife, she's not a Karen Dorse that can take a penny and give you back 9 cents change out of it, okay? She's not that. But my wife will find what I call, she's going to see Clarence, but it's Clarence, I understand it. It's her boyfriend there at the Belk somewhere, it's Clarence. And she can go, and for hours, everyone, I'm thinking, you know that don't fit anybody we know. The reason they're there is because nobody buys that size. Come on, somebody, men. Come on, get with me on this. They are like 9X. I know nobody that's that size. Or they're like extra, extra small. I know no one that small. And she'll dig through this. She'll wade through all that stuff, wait in a special line to say, is this Clarence? You just dug for an hour on the rack that you got it off of. Surely to God they'll give you a break for your persistency. Come on, I'm making a point. Oh, Harbor Freight, it don't matter if it's on sale or not. It's good. Amen. Ask David Dodson. David Dodson, Harbor Freight man. Woo, come on, David. Give me a half. But she'll wade through that to get to that one particular thing that we didn't know was there. That one thing in her head she was after, but she don't really know it's on the rack. But she finally finds us that this is it. What if we were persistent about God, that one thing that we're after, that one thing that is in our heart, that has been birthed in our heart, that is in there that you know God spoke to you about, but we're not that persistent. We don't want to dig through and work through the muck, and we don't want to work through the offenses, and we don't want to work through the prayer time, and we don't want to work through all of them. We don't want to go to church, but we want God to bless us.
We want God to answer the prayers. We want God to increase us. But we don't want to wade through the muck. What if we were like this woman and said, it doesn't matter what you call me. It doesn't matter if you give me a cold shoulder. It doesn't matter if you tell me that you're really not here for me. I'm going to be here till you bless me. What if we were like Jacob? I won't turn you loose until you bless me, God. We put God on a timeline and say, you got 3 minutes and 36 seconds, 34, 32, 31. Can you bless me, God? He says, oh, I can, but I won't. Verse 28. Then he answered and said to her, O woman, O woman, great is your faith. I was doing some study. Do you know this is the only time in the Bible that God directs faith to a particular woman or person? Now, I know you're going to talk about the centurion. He said, I've not seen such great faith in Israel. Here he says, oh, woman, your faith. Your faith. What would it be like if you worked through all of the stuff and all the pain and all the disappointment, all the emotions and all the offenses and all the waiting to hear God say, oh, Ralph, your faith. Oh, your faith is great. It's impossible to please God without faith. Oh, how would we love for God to say, you got great faith? Uh-oh, that's a whole nother game. That's a whole nother message. I got great faith. I'm pleasing God. How did I please God? How did she please God? She wasn't offended. She worked through all the stuff. She wasn't mad at God because he didn't answer right when she wanted to the first time. She had a problem of this woman, this daughter, being possessed. Let it be so. Let it be to you as you desire. He answered a desire of the heart because of faith. See, you can't separate you, God, and faith. It's got to work together. But here's the problem. A lot of times we go to God with desire only and no faith, and we expect God to bless and answer. It doesn't work that way. Desire is an emotion. Desire is a position. Faith is also a position, but it's that God can do what I do not see. What if we start praying from a position of faith and not desire, not want? I believe God will answer way more prayers than you could ever pray. It's all about faith. It's your faith in how you pray. Watch. O woman, great is your faith, let it be to you as you desire. And the writer says, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. I think we miss it a lot of times. Oh, that is so good. Give him a golf clap. No, what you're missing, God is so powerful in answering your prayers. We don't know the daughter's name. We don't know where she is. We don't know how far the mother has traveled to find Jesus. We don't know any of that. It tells us nothing about that in Scripture. She didn't show up and get in the prayer line. Come on, somebody.
She didn't get anointed with oil. She didn't call the prayer chain. She didn't get a bunch of people. All we know is when the desire, when the faith and desire coupled with God, and I won't be rejected from God because I'm asking for the right motives, when that come into play, her daughter got healed somewhere. I said, well, that's God. He can do it. Wait a minute, that's not the only time the centurion's daughter, same way. That very hour, you know the story. That very hour, they come and say, hey, don't bother the teacher. Your daughter, she's dead. Oh, no, she's not. She's not dead. God can answer your prayers. It may not be the way you have it in mind that it should happen. Well, he can't answer if we're not. I mean, she didn't even show up for prayer. I mean, she really don't want it. Come on, we've said that. You got at least down on one knee to get a blessing from the Lord. I mean, come on. We got protocol in the Western church. God says, well, I'm not the Western church. I'm God, and I'm God all by myself. And I don't need your pomp and circumstance. I don't need your ability, your talents, or your anointing to do anything. I'm the one going to heal. And if you come to me in faith and you're persistent, I'll answer your prayer. That's God. I want to say a couple of more things here. At this point, you visitors, you just got excited. Don't do that because you thought we were fixing to close. It's okay. How many of you, I want to do, I mean, I've been wanting to do this for a long time. How many of you go to church, you get out right out at 12? Amen. You go to church at 12, son, you're a liar. Come to the front, son. Some of the deacons go back and get him. He just lied. He said he gets out at 12. That is my son. He is not, I need my deacons. Now, hey, preacher's kid. What he was saying, oh, no, Dad, I check out at 12. You still here, but I just check out. Hey, you can have fun in church, especially if you're the preacher and it's your son doing it. Amen. I want to bring out a couple of things in just an overview before we leave. One thing that the woman could not do, and this is in the persistency of the woman, when she appealed to Jesus, she could not solve, watch this, she could not solve the problems of her destiny of race. She couldn't solve that she wasn't born a Jew. That wasn't her call. She was a woman and she was a Gentile, okay? She couldn't solve this problem of destiny of her race and of the Lord's commission. She couldn't tell the Lord, well, you need to change your mind. Look at us. That's why she could worship and she could say, yes, Lord. She understood her position. She understood that it was God and God alone is going to do it. And I'm here asking. In persistency, in faith, I'm asking. She couldn't change some of those. Don't try to change things you can't change. You can't change them. You're not God. Be mad at God. He's okay. He's not going to change because you're upset. But she could pray. She could pray. And I like this, Spurgeon said it this way. If as a shepherd he may not gather her, yet as Lord he may help her. That's powerful. Boy, I could preach there a while. Well, we got a while. No, I'm kidding. You see, even if you're not here for me, you can still help me. You know, you might not have been of the shepherd's flock, but a good shepherd of his flock, if he saw a sheep of another herdsman's flock hung up in a bush, he would at least turn it loose and point it in the direction of the flock it's supposed to be at. And that's her position. She said, Lord, you may not be here for me, but you can still help me. Man, I'm preaching better than your amen in me. and talk to you a little bit about faith in this passage of Scripture. Great faith was found in unexpected places. Her great faith was found in unexpected places. She wasn't supposed to be there. She sure wasn't supposed to be a woman of a Gentile. Wasn't supposed to be talking to Jesus. Why is she here? She's in a position that you don't think she ought to be, or she shouldn't be. At that time, she really shouldn't be there. And yet great faith comes from a position that is so awkward, so odd, so weird. It's not supposed to happen that way. That's against our tradition. You also see in this passage of Scripture, if you dig a little deeper, that God says, I'm not bound by tradition. I'm God. I can step across tradition at any moment. I can step across race or social boundaries, economic boundaries. I'm God. And you're not. I'm saying don't put God in a box because of your position of what you think or your expectations. The answer from everyone may be no, but God is still God. Great faith is sometimes measured from its disadvantages. The writer says here her faith was great because it did not have the advantage of being nourished by institutions of Judaism. She didn't know. That's why when people come to church, we have this preconceived idea, you got to get saved before God can heal you. Where'd you read that? It's not in the Bible. If it was, God can still step over that boundary. God healed people, and then he said, go sin no more. She was in a place here where it wasn't right. She was at a disadvantage because she didn't know the protocol. I didn't know I was supposed to get in the prayer line. I didn't know I was supposed to sign up first. I didn't know I was supposed to come to a healing summit on Friday night. I just thought God could do it. He's God. Bingo. You got it right. I like this one. Faith is often greatest when it is expressed on the behalf of someone else's need. Think about that just a minute. Your faith is often the greatest when it's expressed on the behalf of someone else's need. When you're praying for someone else. A lot of times we have it that God will do it for them, but when it comes to you or me, well, I've heard those stories, and they were over there, and they must have been more spiritual than me. Well, I'm here to tell you, you're more spiritual than this woman. Her faith was great because it was unlikely. No one would have expected a Gentile to trust Jesus so much. Oh, not a Gentile. You know, I got preacher friends that look weird. Y'all know those preacher friends? They just look weird. You're saying, yeah, I got one of those. Okay, well, weird beyond me. I mean, I don't know if I can do it. My pastor cannot have a man bun. I'm just thinking out loud in Marty's brain. A man bun. Does anybody in there have a man bun right off before I get started? I didn't say a woman. Now I'm talking about a man. Anybody got a man bun in here? Because I'm finna offend you. No. But it's okay. No, I'm not trying to offend anybody. To me, that's just like, you're not going to preach on masculinity too much, are you? Come on, somebody. Y'all, it's okay. You can be honest in church. That's where you get deliverance. But I've seen God do great things through those people. I'm going to tell you a story about this, and then I'm going to be close to closing. So about 20 years ago, I was in Knoxville, Tennessee. My wife and I were youth pastors, and I took a group of young people to Knoxville, Tennessee, to the University of Tennessee. Don't say go Orange, because they stink most of the time, okay? And so we were there in the basketball, the Thompson Bowling Arena. 22,000 kids. We got there late, as is our custom with 25 kids. We get there, and I'm aggravated because the bus wouldn't run fast enough and people get in your way. You know how it is. And you don't account for the time change, which is an hour. Oh, man. And the Holy Ghost is not on me. And I'm dropping kids off, and I said, just go find a seat, and I'll meet you at this place afterwards. Please come here. And my son was young. He was so young that he wasn't even supposed to be there yet. But him and Caleb Dotson, they went. They were going. We want to go. I said, you can go with me. So we all went. And my wife and some of them, they're just got kids, and we're all over this 20. And I'm looking for these. I don't even know where my kids are. And I'm thinking, okay, this is my last trip. Parents are going to fire me. We finally get the bus parked like 9 miles down. We catch a ride. We get in there, and me and these two young boys, and I'm trying to drag them. And we get in there, and there's not a seat one. Except in the very top, way up in the, Shannon, where you're at? No, go on past. You got a seat. They were bleachers where we were sitting. I mean, the seats had done stopped. Well, I was already full of the Holy Ghost, you know, ready to worship. And I said, I ain't going to get nothing out of this. Up here with all these heathens. Look at these kids up here. Got them chains hanging off of them. Hair hanging down. It stinks up here. Don't even have a comfortable seat. I mean, God ain't even in this part of the building. I can't even see the stage from here. And these thugs, I call them thugs, thugging and bugging people. They were sitting there. They got the good seats, by the way. I'm a youth pastor. You ought to get up and give it to me. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. This is religious. The first strum on that guitar, whatever, boom. Those young folks in front of me that had all that change and tattoos and matted up hair like they ain't washed in a couple years and, you know, all that stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Stood up and stuck their hands straight up in the air and began to worship Jesus. They were worshiping. I mean, they were just going crazy. And me, religious, a youth pastor, come to get something from God, had a problem with where I was sitting, with whom I was sitting, and these people are saying, I'm just glad I'm here because Jesus loves me. I'm telling you, you can find Jesus in some unexpected places if you'll be looking for him. But most of the time in the unexpected places, we're blaming God for A, B, C, D, E, F. And God says, sit there, but I'll bless them anyway. That was the amen moment. I thought y'all do better than that. Amen. A couple more. Her faith was great because she worshiped Jesus even before she had the answer from him. Her faith was great because it had been tested so severely. It's hard to think of a greater test than a demon-possessed child. But her faith was also tried by seeming indifference or coldness of Jesus. Her faith was great because it concerned a need right in front of her. And a real need at that. This is a side note. This is that many people have faith for everything except those things that are right in front of them. We have faith for everything except those things that are right in front of us. And lastly, this is what I want to bring home to you today. Her faith was great because it would not give up. Nothing could deter her faith from getting the answer that she was after. She was persistent. If you get nothing out of today, remember this. Don't give up praying for that thing that you're after. Don't give up praying. Seek God in the middle of all of your stuff. In all of the muck and the mire, seek God anyway. Will you stand with me across this building? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just went to 1 minute. I'm still going to get some overtime in. Amen. To the David after 12, it goes in overtime. Amen. I don't get paid for it, but it's overtime. It's like watching a good football game. It's an overtime. You just like a bonus, right? Overtime in a football game is bonus. You get to watch more football, and it gets really excited then, right? Well, guess what? We're fixing to go into overtime. Because this is where God works. See, I've just been rambling about things of God. Now this is where God works. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to even ask you to bow your heads this morning. Is there something in your life that you've been praying for, maybe for a long time? Maybe it just started last week. Maybe this morning. Maybe you got some news this morning and you pray this morning. Is there something in your life that I can pray with you about? That we can come together as a church and pray about? What is that thing? Be persistent. Well, I just don't feel comfortable. Neither did she. What is it that I could pray with you about? What is it that this body of believers can pray with you about? What is that one thing you've been asking the Lord for but you hadn't got yet? What is it? You already know what it is. If that's you, I want you to make your way to the front. It doesn't matter. Look, if you got to leave, you can leave, but I want to pray with you. I believe that the Lord really wants you to be prayed for this morning. If you have a need, you say, Pastor, I really need this. I'd like for this to happen. This is something in my life. I want to pray with you. Well, I'm not making any guarantees. I'm just saying I'm going to pray with you. And I know God. As we sang earlier, He's got a plan for you, and it's good. And if it fits into the good plan of God, God will answer. I believe that with all of my heart. If that's you, will you come? Will you come down to these altars? And I want to pray with you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I've spoke the word you've laid upon my heart today. Lord, I just ask that you would just minister to people. Those that need an answer to prayer. Lord, that just needs some help along in this prayer journey. They've been praying for something. Lord, would you move upon the hearts of people today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as we're fixing to pray for these that have come forward, say, Pastor, you know, that's a great message, and I don't even know what faith is. I don't even know. I came here today, and I'm not even sure I even know Jesus. I mean, I've heard some stories from time to time, but I don't really know. If that's you and you don't know Jesus, you can know Him today. You can ask Him into your heart. Ask Him to come in and be Lord and Savior. Say, Lord, I want to give my life to you. It's that simple. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Is that you in this building? Is that you? Do you know Jesus? If you want to know Him and you don't, will you just slip up your hand real quick? I want to pray with you. The God that can deliver and heal and set free is the God that saves. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Jesus.
Lord is my shepherd, and he is everything I need, so I will not worry, I will not fear the enemy. He said that he loves me, he said that he's with me, even though I walk through the valley.
Thank you, Lord. I'm believing God's going to do something in these prayers today. I believe it. Not tomorrow, not week. I'm talking tonight, starting today. Amen. Amen. I love you. Thank you for staying around. Amen. I'm on overtime. Told you it's good. Amen. Let me bless you before you go. I hope you have a wonderful Labor Day. If you got food left over, bring that. You know, amen. Glory to God. We like to eat. Holler at me. Let me bless you. Father, I bless the people today. I ask, Lord, that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man, that an increase in job promotions and raises would come our way. Lord, that peace would rest over every rooftop, that when we lay down this afternoon or tonight, that sweet sleep, restful, peaceful sleep, would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name, and everyone says,